Do you make things happen, or do things happen to you? Today I'll explore this question, which turns out to be somewhat more complicated than I first thought. I'll touch a bit on yin and yang, talk a bit about trust. But first, what is this distinction, and why does it matter? It's probably easiest to start with effect. At times, we all feel that something happened that we had no control over, and as my British friends might say, knocked me about a bit. Perhaps it's a health issue, a work issue, a relationship issue. We may feel emotionally out of control, as if we can't find our emotional footing. Or perhaps someone pushes our buttons and we fly off the handle, reacting with anger or fear or sadness. Some people may spend the majority of their time in this state. People with chronic diseases, the homeless or the poor may come to mind. They drift through life without anchor or sail. At the other extreme, some people seem to have a natural quality of leadership. It seems that whenever they try something, they succeed. Often they can inspire people to help them succeed. They can express a vision and get people to go along. To butcher another metaphor, they have their hands on the steering wheel and their brakes and engine are in top shape. Most of us probably live our lives somewhere in between those two extremes. We may have certain aspects of our lives that feel under control, and others where we're continually surprised by things going wrong. What interests me about this spectrum is whether and how we might be able to move ourselves along this spectrum, particularly towards the cause end. Some people may look at this and say, oh, that's yin and yang. You can't have one without the other. Traditionally, yang represents the masculine power of action, and yin, the feminine power of receptivity. I'm not a scholar of Eastern thought, but to me, yin and yang represent two opposites, each of which cannot exist without the other. For example, inhaling and exhaling, they're different, but they can't exist without the other one. If cause and effect were like yin and yang, it would imply that when someone was the actor, other people must be acted upon. A zero-sum game, like those so popular in politics today. If someone is helped, somebody else must necessarily get screwed. I don't see cause and effect as a zero-sum game. Natural disasters, for example, can put thousands of people at effect with no obvious cause. And there are many ways we can take command of our life without any obvious victims. For example, consider driving a car. If we're confident and experienced as a driver, we can effectively move ourselves around, but at the same time, we can be respectful and considerate towards other drivers, motorcycles, bicycles, pedestrians, and traffic laws. We might also look at cause and effect in terms of control. When I'm making things happen, I'm in control. When I'm being acted upon, I'm out of control. But once again, this falls short. Our experienced driver is being acted upon by traffic lights, other drivers, railroad crossings, speed limits, metering lights, and sweepers on the freeway. But they're still making things happen successfully, and may even, for the most part, feel good about the experience of driving, even in Bay Area traffic. It seems we must look a bit deeper to make sense of this distinction. Is it always unpleasant to be out of control, to be at effect rather than cause? Well, no. Consider a roller coaster. You can hardly get more out of control. People scream. But for the most part, they leave the ride with smiles on their faces. Having a good meal cooked for you, letting yourself go deep into a relationship, deeply listening to someone you care for, going to a concert, deep meditation. These can be very meaningful and positive experiences where you abandon your control in the usual sense. That part of you that thinks about what you're going to say when someone else is talking, that's always planning and criticizing you for your imperfections. Being in effect can mean simply being. I believe the The key ingredient at being in effect in a positive way is trust. If the roller coaster killed hundreds of people a year who rode it, the experience would be far more unpleasant. I just read in this morning's news that a roller coaster derailed and tossed two people 35 feet to the ground. And I suspect that would affect the next time I got on a roller coaster. Similarly, if the meal that's being cooked for you is likely to make you sick, if the person you're listening to is spouting garbage, if the relationship was tinged by anger or bitterness, the experience would not be pleasant. We would want to avoid such experiences, might even feel victimized by them. There's a similar issue with being in cause. When I was a kid, Superman was all over the TV, and scores of little boys put on their Superman costumes, climbed up onto the garage roof, and tried to fly. I'm 100% sure these boys were feeling that they were causing their actions rather than being acted upon. But the typical result was a broken bone or worse. If you're a terrible driver, but you feel that you're a good one, you can feel confident and create serious havoc as a result. Confident actions that are not based in reality are dangerous to the actor and to others. Again, politics comes to mind. So let's go still deeper. Consider an interaction where, say, Susie is in cause and creates a negative effect on her friend Jane. Jane might think, and maybe respond, "You did something to me and I didn't like it." If we rule out examples of physical harm and stick to the emotional realm, these kinds of statements are common. Even more common is, "You did something to me and I didn't like it, but I didn't say anything." Or maybe, "You did something that pushed my buttons and I got angry." Sometimes the activity is not even there at all. If someone forgets a spouse's birthday, the response can be explosive, even when there was no overt action, simply a failed expectation. I borrow the terms at cause and at effect from neurolinguistic programming, or NLP. NLP has a strong bias towards being in cause and teaches some techniques to move from being at effect to being at cause. For example, suppose a patient comes in with a fear of riding in elevators. The psychologist immediately says something like, "Interesting, how do you do that? Can you teach me how to have your phobia?" Note that by asking these questions, the psychologist is forcing the patient to own their reactions, to take on the standpoint of being in cause. The psychologist walks the patient through the details of their reaction, shortness of breath, sweating, etc. When they have a list, the psychologist says, "Is there something on this list you think you could change the next time the phobia hits?" So the patient may say, "Well, I could take deeper breaths." This puts the patient even more at cause. Slowly, the patient takes ownership of their reaction and gains control over it. A similar intervention involves patients with chronic pain. The psychologist may ask the patient whether they can make the pain worse. And if so, may then suggest that if they can make the pain worse, perhaps they can also make the pain better. Of course, these treatments are not guaranteed and depend a lot on the rapport between the patient and the psychologist. When emotional reactions are involved, I think moving towards being in cause is usually a good thing. We may believe that someone pushes our buttons or makes us angry, but the reality is that we own the buttons and we own the process of getting angry. The good news is that, with rare exceptions, it's easier to change ourselves than to change others. And in fact, often changing ourselves does change others, or at least changes the way we relate to them. More seriously, by projecting the cause of our responses onto others, we get to repress the feelings of anger, sadness, or fear that probably lie behind our negative responses. And anytime we take part of our energy and use it to repress another part of our energy, we can pay a heavy price in decreased vitality and often a distorted view of the outside world. So in many cases, especially where emotions are involved, being in effect is really an illusion. We're really already at cause, and learning to own these reactions can trigger a series of valuable insights and transformations. But there's also an unhealthy kind of being in cause. People who are my way or the highway types, who are bullies or abusers, may appear to be the cause. After all, nothing we say or can do can change their behavior. What's interesting is how often this type of behavior, though it looks like being in cause, turns out to be a reaction to a deep-seated fear of being at effect. Beneath the bully is a coward, and beneath the self-made man is often a powerful fear of failure. Someone stuck at cause often has damaged empathy and poor connections with other people, ironically providing a breeding ground that manifests their worst fears. Those little boys who tried to fly from the garage roof might have been at cause, but they also clearly had a distorted sense of reality. So emotionally, being at cause is good. It's owning your own stuff. But when, if ever, is being at effect good? I already mentioned things like listening to a concert, having a deep conversation with a friend, or making love. For most of us, being open and accepting in this way requires a sense of trust. And here the model seems to break down. Trust by its nature involves two or more people in most cases. And so it appears to be more complicated than a simple dimension running from cause to effect. It seems like the best way out of this is to make sure that you are at cause when you choose to be at effect. Actually, the excellent driver we discussed earlier fits this model. But at the same time, it seems like a bit of a paradox. How can we be both at cause and effect at the same time? So, I'll leave this topic here. Paradoxes can be very revealing. They're like a doorway to a deeper understanding than to be expressed rationally. The rational mind shudders and gives up. And then, like a total eclipse of the mind, the stars can come out.